All right. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
So, yeah, we're going to continue the series, Living Every Season Fully, okay? So there's two parts to it. One is season, and one is fully, okay? Everyone is in a season, and we get to live it fully, okay, by God's grace. And so today we're going to look at Joshua 14, verses 6 through 15. And we're going to look at the life of Caleb, because he embodies what it means to live every season fully. He actually lived 45 years, or actually quite 85 years fully. Okay? So let's take a look at that. Turn to Joshua 14. And I'm going to be reading out of the ESV, okay? All right. Joshua is right after Deuteronomy. It's the sixth book in the Bible. Okay. So we'll read 10 verses, okay? So says, then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly follow the Lord my God. And that's going to be the theme of today. Yet I wholly follow the Lord my God. Do you guys remember what happened? Moses sent out 12 spies to check out the land. Okay, it's a famous story. And two of the spies were Joshua and Caleb. And they came back and they were like, yeah, we can take this land. Yes, there are giants in there, and they have weapons, and the cities are fortified, but we can take it. But 10 of the spies said, no, if we go there, they're going to kill us. Let's go back to Egypt, okay? And so that's what he's talking about. Verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive just as he has said these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. Okay, so he was 40. Mm-hmm. And when he was 80, they cross over to the promised land. Okay, and then this is like, I guess, 5 years later. Roughly. Check this out. Verse 11. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Yeah. So at 85, he is as strong as he was when he was 40 years old. My strength now is as my strength was then for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there. These are the big giants. With great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. Okay, so they're still there, and he's going to have to go fight them to take over the land. Verse 13, then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. And we'll stop there. All right? So, yet I wholly follow the Lord. Or other translations will say, I wholeheartedly follow the Lord. Okay?
What verse is that?
He says that in verse 8, at the end of verse 8. Okay? Or I fully follow the Lord. Okay? Okay. So why is this important? So I'm gonna draw a picture here. Okay, I'm gonna use the whiteboard. Everyone can see the whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Push this back a little bit. All right.
So imagine our Christian life as a journey, right? As a journey, and we're here right now. Okay. We're at a certain point in time. Okay. And these are God's promises for us. You could call it the promised land. Okay? But it's over this hump, over this hill. Okay? And what I'm going to say is that there's really three types of people that we see in the scriptures, okay, with respect to this. Okay? So there are those, like Caleb, it says, they fully follow the Lord, and they get the inheritance. They get what God has promised them. Okay? So there's those that make it over this. Like they fully follow. Okay? And then there are some what the scripture says, they turn back in the day of battle, or they shrink back. Okay? Because they get scared. Okay? Because I wish God's promises, he just says, like that. It doesn't work out that way, right? The Christian life isn't like that. It requires participation and faith and cooperation from us, okay? And so there's people that they turn back, okay? And then there's this other category which is really easy to get into, okay? And these people, they kind of hold on, but they kind of stay in what's called the wilderness, okay? And it's actually around here, okay? So if you look at, in the last series, we went through the book of Numbers, right? And it's like, it's when things get difficult that what's in us begins to show up. And so what it says about Caleb is that he had a different spirit. You guys remember that? God said, because Caleb has a different spirit, and he followed me fully. Okay, so there are these critical points when the journey becomes difficult. This right here is when the different spirit shows up. This is when you begin to see the Calebs and the 10 spies differentiate. Before that, you can't really tell the difference, but it hasn't had a chance to show up. Okay, and and this season right here, between here and here, okay, this time, this is the season that you want to follow the Lord fully. Okay? And so, as we were praying, actually right before this meeting, we're praying, and I got this phrase, young Calebs. Okay? And I believe that all of us here are young Calebs. Okay? Because each one of us has been given, okay, for a Christian, the Holy Spirit, okay, and that is the beginning of that's you cultivate that, different spirit, and we follow the Lord fully, and we'll be like Caleb. At 85, we'll be as strong as ever. Okay, so I'm speaking to the young Calebs in this room. Okay, I hope we all want to be like Caleb. Yeah. And this season here, see, we're all in a season, and it took me a while in the last series to really figure out what season I'm in, okay? So I hope it's becoming clearer for us who've been coming, what season we're in. If it's not clear, it's okay. God will make it clear over time. But this season you're in is important. So the goal of meeting is so that you live this season fully. Okay, we want to live this season fully. Okay, we don't want to be like, yeah, I'm waiting until that. Okay, you actually want to start now and filling that up. Okay, so there's, in the handout, I think I have like 4 points, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 4 points, okay. So the first thing is, that I notice is, he says, yet, It says, yet I follow the Lord my God. Yet I wholly follow the Lord my God. So I like this word yet. Some translations say however. Okay? So what it tells me is that Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly, not because it was easy, right? Not because everyone else was doing it, but actually he did it in spite of reasons to not do that. Yeah? He says, yet I fully follow the Lord. Do you see that logic? Okay? We want to have that yet in our hearts. Like, we want to have that yet. Yeah? It tells us that he was fueled by a different spirit. There was something different about him, a different substance. And so, what we want to ask is, what did Caleb have? Yeah, what was that different spirit he had? And how do we cultivate that different spirit ourselves? Okay? So that it leads to a yet. Okay? And this is really tied to the vision of our church, or the mission of VCF. So the mission of VCF, okay, is that it says, the people who know their God shall display strength and take action. Okay? It's not that we display strength and take action because everyone else is doing it. It's actually only a few people are going to do that. Okay? Because most people are going to be living in darkness. Okay? But it's those who know God, who live out of his presence, they will be able to take action. They'll have that yet. Okay? Just one thing, I don't think it's on the handout, but I want to go over is, you know, when we talk about the presence of God, I'm going to ask you guys, when you think about the presence of God, is it dynamic or is it static? Do you know what that means? So dynamic means like the presence is moving. And static is like the presence is just still. Okay? So there's a verse in Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. Okay? And I used to think that meant, okay, it means that, okay, if I spend time with God in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And I think that there's truth to that, okay? But recently, I had a little bit of a revelation, okay? Because right before that, it says, you make known to me the path of life. And it says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. Okay? So, if you think of God's presence as moving, he makes known to me the path of life. And as I follow that presence, in his presence, there is fullness of joy, right? So I was like, oh my gosh, that's, that's awesome, right? It's like the fullness of joy is found as I follow him fully, okay? And it's interesting because in the Old Testament, right, what did God look like to the people? He was a pillar of fire and a cloud, right? He actually moved. Mm-hmm. So if he stopped, then the people were to stop. If he moved, the people were to follow him, yeah? So, all that to say is that our relationship with God is one of following his presence. Okay, his presence is not just like you come to worship him on Sunday and you're there in his presence and there's fullness of joy and we leave and do that again and again. Actually, individually in our lives and corporately, he's leading us and we're supposed to follow him. Okay? And so, When Christ reconciled us to God, right? He didn't just reconcile us so that we would just know him as a static presence, but so we could follow him all the days of our lives, right? So like if you get married, imagine if two people got married, and then that was it, and then they lived their lives separately after that. That'd be goofy, right? You get married to live together for the rest of your days. So when, When Christ reconciled us to God, it wasn't just like one-time thing, now I'm a Christian. Okay? The whole point of it is so that we can walk closely with God the rest of our days, okay?
Yes.
All right. So, point number two is, it says he wholly followed the Lord. Okay? He didn't just follow the Lord, he fully followed the Lord, or wholeheartedly followed the Lord. So, like I said, there's three types of people. There's the people who turn back on the day of battle and shrink back, and they run away. They go back to Egypt. And then I want to just talk about this because this is very easy for us to get into. And I'm going to call it the drift. Okay? The drift. So, the drift happens like this, okay? So imagine that you're in a river, okay? And you're in a boat, and you're trying to go, wait, forget the river. Let's say you're in the ocean. Forget it, because the river is, no, that's not a good example. You're in the ocean, and you want to go north, okay? You want to go north to get to the island, but then there's a current in the ocean. Okay? You know, current in the ocean. The current goes this way. Okay? So if you add those two arrows, you're going to end up going this way. That's called the drift. You drift from where you want to go. Okay? And you have to, if you don't do anything, the drift will take you further and further away. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay? Now, let me ask you this. If you put no effort in, if you're in the boat and you're the rower and you put no effort, you'll get caught up by the drift. Mm-hmm. Right? You have to put effort in to fight the drift. Mm-hmm. Yeah? That's just like common sense, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm a married man, okay? So do you guys know that in a marriage, you guys, the husband and the wife, they can drift?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? If you do nothing, you will drift. Okay? Like,
sorry.
Drift is the natural consequence of putting in no effort. Okay? Like, even in a friendship, you can drift. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, we're in relationship with a God who is invisible. And he doesn't even talk to us in an audible voice. So it's very easy for us to drift from God. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, to fully follow the Lord, I'm going to say this, it's like there's an effort involved. You have to fight the drift. Okay? And so, how do you avoid the drift and get into fully and wholly following him? Okay? And I'm going to give us three keys, okay? But the first key is this, is what I realize is that, you know, when Sanjeev, in our last series, he's talking about living every season fully, okay? And then here is Caleb saying he's going to fully follow the Lord, right? What I realize is that following the Lord is not just like zero and one. It's not binary.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know what you're talking about? It's not like I don't follow the Lord or I follow the Lord. It's actually, there's like a fullness of following the Lord. So wholeheartedly follow the Lord, or you can do half-heartedly. Okay? So you could think of it as like you have a cup. You have a cup and you can fill it up. Okay? So you can think of following the Lord as a cup that you're filling up. Okay? And so how do you start filling it up?
Pour water into it.
Yeah. You have to pour something into it, and you have to do one thing at a time. That's the only way I don't do things. I can't go from 0 to 100 all of a sudden, okay? But I can go from 0 to 1. Okay? So, actually, as I was meditating over this, I felt God say, Jihong, you have to start obeying every little prompt. Every little prompting of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit or not, but if it is, I better do it. Okay? So, I started doing that. Okay? So, I had a little prompt, and it was, one of it was like, I was listening to a worship song, and it was like, I was worshiping and it was ministering to me, and I thought of another person, right? And usually I'm like, whatever, right? But I was like, God had said, you have to follow every prompt. I was like, okay. That means, so I wrote this person, I said, hey, this song ministered to me. Listen to it. It's powerful if you're in a quiet place. So, and then after that, I got another prompt later in the day. And then I said, okay, I'm going to do that. Okay? And so now I've been doing that, and now like I'm on a roll. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't on a roll, but I just did like 3-4 things. Now I'm like, oh man, God's like moving me. And I'm following that, right? And I'm feeling like, okay, I want to follow him fully. I want to just keep doing that again and again and again. Okay? So that's the beginning of following fully. So if you feel like you're at zero, okay, so this is good news, right? Is you just have to be like, the next thing God says, I will do it. Even if it's a stupid little thing. Yeah? That's all you have to do. And when I read the scriptures, right, like at fall conference, for those of us who are at fall conference, we studied the life of Gideon. Right? And Gideon started with a little thing, a little step. Right? And then he took another step. And then another step. And then before you knew it, he was like winning the battle. Yeah? So, all right. So, that to me, that's key number one is you just start small. Okay, but you obey the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life when it's small. Okay, you're not waiting for it to be big. You're like, I'm gonna do anything because I wanna get there. Yeah, if you want your season to be full, that's how you start. Okay. Point number three is, what resonates in your heart? Okay? So it says in verse 7 through 8, Caleb says, I brought him word as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. You see that? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because like it says Caleb's talking about his heart and he had a word that he like pulled out and said, we can do it, right? But the other people, they came and they shared something and it made the people's heart melt, okay? And I'm going to talk about the two things that can resonate in our heart. One is feelings, and the other one is the Word of God, okay? And let's see. By the way, we're going to stop in... When do I stop?
7:25.
10 minutes? Okay, 7:25. Okay, so we'll have an hour for discussion, okay? So, I like to draw things and just think of our lives as, you know, you guys know that we live from the inside out, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, the words we speak, it's actually... reflects the condition of our heart. Right? So if we're happy, then the things that we say will be happy and uplifting. But if we're like depressed or angry, then we might say, you know, the things that come out of our mouth will be a reflection of what's in there. Okay? So somewhere in here are our feelings and our thoughts. Okay? And these affect our actions. Yeah? And so when we're non-Christians, before Christ came and changed us, okay, that's all we could live out of is our thoughts and our feelings. It's called the old self. Okay, it's our natural man. Okay? But when you become a Christian, okay, it says that Christ, there's a regeneration that happens in us, okay? And there's actually a new self. Okay, it's a new creation. Okay? And it's right here in the middle. It's the very center, and this is your new self. This is your new center, actually, okay? And so part of growing as a Christian is learning how to live out of that new center. Okay? Otherwise, you might call yourself a Christian, but you're living out of your flesh, out of your old self. Okay? So it's all invisible. We can't find it. The doctors can't find it, but there's a new self, okay? It's for real, guys, okay? There's a new self, a new center. And this part, okay, the Word of God can strengthen it. The Word of God can make it strong. It can feed it. And the Word of God can resonate there. Okay? Then you live out of here. And then it even changes your thoughts. It changes your feelings. Obviously, it'll change your actions. Over time, it'll transform your life, okay? So that's why, like, when I became a Christian, a few things happened, it changed my life. I was like, wow, I can't believe my life changed so much in 1 year. It's because this new self, it began to change my thoughts, my feelings, my values, my principles. It just changed me, right? And so, here's the thing is that what happened is that the 10 spies, the 10 of the guys, they saw the giants in the fortified cities and their feelings went crazy. Their thoughts went crazy. They're like, oh no, we're going to die. Okay? And so what I have to tell you guys is that feelings are valid because we're human beings, but they are not reliable. They are unreliable. Okay? Imagine that you're having heart surgery, okay? And the doctor is operating on you, okay? For many, many hours, right? And imagine halfway through the doctor's like, I feel tired. I don't want to do this anymore. He just leaves. That's crazy, right? That's crazy, right? Like, life will show us, even without the Christian life, just life in general tell us, like, if you live by feeling, it doesn't work, okay? But here's the thing is, so many Christians try to live out of their feelings. They make decisions out of their feelings, okay? Instead of by the Word of God. So they'll decide, okay, if I feel good, I'll go to church. You know, if I feel good, I'll come. Or if I feel good, then I'll minister. Okay? To become a minister, guys, like, you have to minister when you don't feel like it. Okay? Like, that's how all ministers are raised up, is when they don't stop going by feeling, and they go by their commitment to the Word of God. Okay? So, here's the thing is, you have to die. You have to die to going by feelings. You have to throw your feelings. So you have to be aware of your feelings. Because if you're not aware of your feelings, then you're like a robot. Okay? So you're aware, but you don't live by your feelings. You guys see the difference? So you're self-aware. And guys, I get it because there's times when I get down. I don't know what hit me, but I'm down. I just know it, right? And the downness will take me a certain direction, right? So I know from living the Christian life for over 20 years, it's like something is pushing me. This feeling is taking me. So then I have to stop. I stop until I find God's presence and that's something I can stand on, the Word of God, yeah? So that's what Caleb did, is he saw the giants, he saw the fortified cities, but he held on to the word of God. He said, if God delights in us, he will give us this land. We can overcome. He didn't deny his feelings. He didn't deny the reality that he's going to face giants. Okay? But he kept that word. Okay? And so if you're a Christian, you have this new self, and the word of God will resonate there. Okay? But if you let your feelings and your thoughts go crazy, it'll drown out the resonance of the word. Yeah? I talk a lot about feelings, but this is why, okay? So we want to be in touch with our feelings, but we go by the word of God. We go by something stronger. Okay? And when the feelings are strong, you just stop. You're like, I am not going to do anything. Because all you're doing is you're doing something that's destructive. Yeah? Until you find something else to live by. Okay? And then the last point is from verse 11, it says, I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then for going, for war, and for going and coming. So it's amazing to me that for 45 years, right, he kept his strength, okay? And again, so the opposite of this is atrophy. Okay? Atrophy, it's when it's like when your muscles atrophy, right? Because if you don't use your muscles, they will just atrophy. They'll become fat, weak, atrophy, right? And again, it takes no effort to atrophy. If you do nothing, you will atrophy, right? Okay? So we live by the grace of God, but if we do nothing, we will atrophy. Yeah? So by the grace of God, we have to stay strong. And for him to do that, for Caleb to do that for 45 years, wow, he had serious faith and patience. Because when have you ever been able to sustain something for 45 years? For 40 years. How do you keep going here when to get there is going to take 40 years? Yeah? Mm-hmm. But the other side of that is you're going to atrophy. Okay? Now, I'm going to say that it's very easy for us to atrophy in the waiting. Okay? Because I wish I could tell you that you follow him fully for 1 week and boom, you're going to get it. No, it's not going to be like that. Okay? Some of us are in a one-month season. A 1 year season. Me, I'm in a 10 year season. Okay? I won't have time to share my season, maybe at the next session, okay? But I'm in a 10 year season. And because of that, when I first started, it was very easy for me to get into a cycle of atrophy and just feeling like, oh man, I have nothing to live for. I have nothing exciting to live for. Okay? And that's like the worst place you can be, because when you don't feel like you have nothing exciting to live for, then you will want to do nothing. Okay? But what I learned recently is that there's the atrophy cycle. And what happens when a part of your life atrophies, it leads to more hopelessness. Okay? And that hopelessness turns into more fogginess. Meaning you don't really know, it's not clear what you should be doing. And that fogginess leads to more doing nothing, which leads to more atrophy, which leads to more hopelessness, and so on. Okay? This is the atrophy cycle. Okay? And so, for some of us, this might be like in our health. Okay? Like if you don't care about your health, right? And you just start eating junk food, right? After that, you feel bad, right?
Yeah.
And then you're like, But then when you feel bad, it doesn't help you to change. It makes you do it more.
More badder.
Yeah?
Badderer.
Yeah, worse and worse and worse. Yeah, it's a terrible cycle to be in. Okay? Somehow Caleb found the other cycle, okay? So it might be in our health, it might be in our finances. Like sometimes once you let go of finances, you go into debt, then it's like it's hard to get out, right? You're in a bad cycle. It could be in a skill that you're supposed to be developing, a talent that you have, a gift that you have, right? So for me, I realized I'm a software engineer, and my software skills were beginning to atrophy. But what I found is that I could excuse it because I'm like, I'm getting older, I'm a manager, you know, but then I felt bad about it. I felt hopeless about it. And then it was not good, okay? So I said, I gotta break out of this, you know? And the other cycle is one of strength, okay? And strength takes practice, takes discipline. It's not in exact order, guys, okay? I just came up with random things that have worked for me. Mm-hmm. Okay? Commitment, which leads to focus, which leads to more strength and soul. So one thing I did at my work was I started to solve problems. Okay? And actually, I was at small group about 3 weeks ago, and Scott was sharing. And Scott was saying that it takes faith to invest money. Because before you invest money, you have to do the hard work of doing research. Right? And guys, it's not easy doing research, and it's hard work. You know what I mean? It's like it's hard work to use your brain sometimes. Once you're out of school, like it's easy to not use your brain. You become stupider and stupider, and you feel hopeless and hopeless. It's not good, right? So you have to, even if you're out of school, you have to like use your brain. You have to read books. You have to learn. Yeah? You have to like exercise your memory. Yeah? And so I started trying to solve simple problems, right? And then at first I was like, oh my gosh, I am so stupid. I can't even solve this stinking problem, right? Okay. But then I stayed with it. And I solved it, and I was like so happy. I did one thing, and I was like, oh, I felt strong, okay? And then I was like, I'm going to do this every day. Committed myself to it, right? And then I became focused, and I did it again and again and again. And I'm like, now I have some confidence that I can be, I have confidence in my problem-solving ability. Does that make sense? So, fully following, yeah? So just to recap, you start with one thing. You start putting one thing into the bucket. Okay? Guys, when the next time God speaks to you, just do it. Okay? Even if you're wrong, then you learn from it, okay? And then die to living by your feelings. Okay, go by the word of God, yeah? And then you gotta break out of that atrophy cycle into the strength cycle by the grace of God, yeah? So the three questions we have are, can I borrow your sheet real quick? In small groups that you will discuss is, number one is, what resistance do I face in wholly following the Lord in this season of my life? Okay? There's a spiritual battle, guys, and there's a resistance, okay? It's a chance to identify that. The second question is, how can I begin to wholly follow the Lord? What do I need to do differently? What's that one little thing that'll get me going? Okay? Is there an area of disease? Actually, I didn't talk about the disease, okay? But what's an area of atrophy that the Lord may be addressing? Okay? So we'll take like a 3-4 minute break and then discuss the next one.